I'm going to review now the Sikha. This is in the volume 10. This is the second Sikha in volume 10, the portion of Noach. The Rebbe points out that this Parsha gives us several instructions about how we should speak, that we should speak gently, speak nicely. Speech is very, very important. It also is going to talk about the seeing what you see, if you see fault in other people. He's going to discuss that and to also point out that, you know, you can see the fault in somebody else sometimes, but you shouldn't. You can see and see. There's two seeings. There's one seeing to just see what he has done, but there's sometimes, you know, judging them. You know, you're seeing more than just seeing what happened, but you're actually judging them. So it's going to be a whole discussion about all this, and it's interesting. We read in the Hayom Yom a couple of days ago, just talking about speech. It says there that in the city where the Baal Shem Tov lived, it was the city of Mezhebush, that was the name of the city, and one of the people once in shul got very angry at another person. They got very angry, and he was yelling in shul, and he said, I would rip you like a fish. That's what he expressed himself. And the Baal Shem Tov called his students, and he lined them up, and he made a closed circuit. That's what he would do occasionally. He would put each student would put their hand on the other student, and he would stand in the front, and he would put his right hand on the student next to him, and the left hand on the student next to him, make a closed circuit. And all of a sudden, when he did this, all the students started screaming out of great fear because they saw the person ripping his friend like a fish, even though he didn't do it, he just said it. He showed him that when you say something, it actually has, at a certain level, it also has an impact, even though it's not in the physical world fully, but it does have implication. He was able to show his students that this is actually how it took place. But that's,
what?
Well, it's like a vision, right? Like a vision.
No. Yeah.
Oh, it wasn't. It happened in front of their eyes, or not?
No, they couldn't see. No, it didn't happen. He just said it.
But he said it, and they heard him saying or not?
They heard what? They heard the person saying it, but
yeah.
They didn't.
Right.
They didn't see it. The Baal Shem Tov showed them.
And I thought that they.
No, and Baal Shem Tov said to them, "This teaches us that from everything that you say, there's more than just something happens on a spiritual level. So there's more doing. But that's another point. So." What does it say in our portion? If you take a look in Pasuk, chapter 7, verse 8. You see the Pasuk? Chapter 7, verse 8. So over there, the Torah was telling, it talks about what Noach brought into the ark, right? So it says, Hashem tells him to take in, min ha-behemo ha-tahoyra, from the clean animal. What is a clean animal? That means a kosher animal. You have it? 7, 8.
45. Okay.
You have it?
From the pure animals.
For the pure animal. What does a pure animal mean?
Kosher.
Rashi's a kosher. And also from the animal that is not pure. Now, Rashi says Noach studied Torah, so he knew what eventually is going to be kosher or not kosher. At that point, there was no such a thing as kosher or not kosher. But he learned the Torah, so he knew. So,
did he learn the Torah?
Because it was by tradition. They had some of the laws. They knew it says Abraham learned the Torah, so it was known.
But Abraham was after Noah, right?
That's true. Yeah, but that's what was passed along. I'm just saying, even before the Torah was given, the Torah was known. That's been mentioned in various different places that they studied Torah, they knew Torah, it was known to them. Of course, the Torah was given in a very specific way that it impacts the world differently. So the Torah has a different power when it was given by Matan Torah at the Har Sinai, but that's a separate discussion. But the sages in the Gemara, they point out, look at the language. It says, "Umin ha-behemo asher einenu tahora," that from the animal which is not clean. Why does it use the language "not clean" instead of saying "tamei," which would mean defiled or something like that? "Tamei." The rabbis say like this: a person should never take out of his mouth something which is degrading or something which is not nice, because the Torah actually made, circumvented, and added like 8 letters in order not to bring out from its mouth or from the Torah something which is degrading. The Torah says, "Min habehema hatahora, u'min habehema sherinenu Torah." So, as Rashi explains, how many letters is there? Asher, Einena, Tahora. The Hebrew letters, they have 13 letters. Those words, these three words, that is not clean, has 13 letters. Three words that have 13 letters. And the Torah could have just says Hatimeya, which would be one word, which had 5 letters, and the Torah wrote in a crooked way, say that is not clean, to teach us that a person should always go after a clean language. So say that is not clean versus which is tummy. It's interesting that if you see it by the Rebbe, you see it all the time. You would always make sure to use a very, not only as far as that goes, but the Rebbe would always be, always find like a hospital in Israel, they call it a Beit Cholim, a house for the sick. The Rebbe called it a Beit Refuah, a house for the healing. He says, not a place for the sick. How do you get it? People who were injured, they were called them Nechei, invalids. The Rebbe said, no, they are Mitsuyane Tzahal, the extinguished, distinguished people. When you would talk about special needs kids, you would say, they are the special kids, not always taking out the negative connotation from everything that he spoke. But this is what the pasuk talks about this. But there's also, so this is one thing in the parsha. So the parsha talks about being careful in speech, saying speech in the right way. But there's also another lesson that we can learn as far as seeing. Now, we know the whole story, what happened, that after Noah went out of the ark, he got drunk, and then he got revealed. And the verse says that the two sons, Shem and Yefes, they were careful, totally, they did not want to see their father's nakedness. They didn't want to see it. So, it says they went backwards, and their faces were backwards, and they were sort of walking, with their, not looking, until they covered their father, and they covered him up. And the verse adds, "Ve'erva savihem loiro." This is in Perek Tes Pasuk Chav Gimel, chapter 9, verse 23. So they went backwards. See that? You see the verse?
22.
They got rewarded for this. The Torah says, emphasizes the great reward that they got, because later on, you read in the verses in chapter 9, verse 26 and 27. So over there, you say the great blessings that they got. It says, "Baruch Hashem lekeishem." God should bless the God of shame. V'yichnan, Chanan was the one that told his father Chum, who was the cause of it. Yaftalikim liyefes v'yishkebo l'shem goymer. The Torah gives them reward. So we see two things in this week's parsha. We see one about being careful with speech, and also being careful with what you see. So here the Rebbe asks a question on the second part that we just read over there, because it says like this. It says they walked backwards, and their face was backwards, and then it says they didn't see their father's nakedness, the father's erva. But it's almost self-understood. What is the emphasis that they didn't see the father's nakedness? If they were walking backwards, there was no way they can see it. So it already says they were walking backwards with their face backwards, and they covered the father. Why does the Torah emphasize and say they didn't see the father? So it seems that the Torah is saying something more than just that physical seeing, that they didn't see it, but there's something more than that. That The difference between Shem and Yefes, the two brothers who didn't see, and Chum was different also, just by staying backwards we wouldn't know. And as the Rebbe is going to explain later on, just to give you a little bit of the Rebbe's explanation so that we understand, the Rebbe says that Chum, even if he didn't see his father's nakedness, but yet he in his mind, his father was guilty. In other words, he saw his shame. He saw his father nakedness. Means, why did he get drunk? Why did he do this? I mean, he was judging him. He was judging his father for doing. Even if he didn't physically see anything, but they saw, they felt in their heart that the father was wrong. What he did was wrong. The Rebbe is going to learn when it says, "Eres avim leiro." Not only physically they didn't see, they didn't see the shame, because they didn't judge their father. In other words, they didn't see, they didn't see the bad in it. They didn't see, and the Rebbe is going to explain that. Sometimes when we see something in another person, there's two things. There's something you can see that the person is doing something wrong. That doesn't mean that you don't see. You could see that. But what you shouldn't really see is, you shouldn't judge. You shouldn't say, you know, of course, if you see something did something wrong, you have to try to write it. You have to try to tell them what to do. But don't be judgmental about it. Don't see their fault and don't condemn them in your heart and things like that. As we'll see, as the Rebbe will explain. So there's two things. There's A, not seeing it, but B, there is not seeing it, in other words, not just being judgmental. As we'll see, the Rebbe says. The Baal Shem Tov says something in the Nosh Beis. Baal Shem Tov says, if you see something bad in another person, so that means that what you're seeing over there, similar to that, is actually by yourself. It's like looking in a mirror. If your face is clean, then you see in the mirror, you don't see any blemish in the mirror, you see. But if you see something dirty over there, and you see a spot in the mirror, its only reason is because your own face is dirty. So if you see something and something else bad, it's only because your face is dirty. So that's the Baal Shem Tov. It's a known statement of the Baal Shem Tov. If you see something bad about somebody else, it's a mirror. You have to look in yourself. So the Rebbe says, why? Why do we have to say that seeing something bad in another person is just an image? How come? Maybe it's possible that his friend has a fault and he doesn't have it, or the person doesn't have it. Maybe he doesn't have to have every fault. Why could it not be a possibility that a person should have something wrong, and it doesn't prove that the person is also wrong? Why does the Baal Shem Tov say that it has to be that you as well? So, what does that mean? The Rebbe explains like this. Because everything that happens in the world is by divine providence. So, if you see something bad in the other person, why? Why is God making you see this thing now in the other person? It's not something that just happened, God forbid. It just so happens. But it has to be that from above they sort of prepared it for you to see this. So, why did Hashem create this? Nothing was created in vain. So, it's impossible to say that you're seeing something negative in another person for no reason. Why is Hashem showing me something negative in another person? Why? Just like that? So there has to be a reason. So we have to say that there's something for me to learn from this. So there must be an instruction. And what is the instruction? No, if you're seeing something, that the Eibishter is telling you. That's why why is Hashem showing you something bad in the other person? That is the way Hashem is showing to you that you actually have that problem. That's why Hashem is showing it to you. So one could ask, so basically you're saying, why is Hashem showing me something bad?
If it's a person who just has that bad midah, see, like...
Okay, well, we're gonna go in a minute. We're going to talk about that. But let's just continue on this thought, and then we'll think about it. The thought is like this. So basically, Hashem wants to tell me something, because everything by divine providence. So Hashem is telling me something about myself, about my own improvement, by showing me something negative in another person. The Rebbe is just showing me, he's giving me a mirror. He's saying, here, I'm showing you something negative in the other person. So you look at there, now go find it in yourself, what you're seeing in the other person. That's why Hashem is showing it to me. So you're going to say, so why does Hashem have to show me the negative thing in the other person so I should learn for myself? Why doesn't Hashem show it in a direct way to me? Tell me something, you know, show me without having to see it in the other person. So the answer for that is because a person has self-love, which covers basically an all faults. You know, a person loves themselves. You don't see things about yourself you don't see. Is an expression that says a person sees all plagues besides his own plagues. He sees all blemishes, doesn't see their own blemishes. So, how could you bring a person to know his own lackings, his own deficiencies? You can't bring it by him. So you have to invite him to see it by another person. Oh, so when this occasion, when you see your friend, how this is really not nice, what your friend is doing, but there's no love for the friend, that's for yourself. So you start to think, hey, you know, that's not really them. So then you start to reflect and you look at yourself. So then you'll come to the recognition that what you've seen over there, actually, you got to find in yourself. That all of the plagues you see in another person, not by yourself. So start searching yourself. Here, the Rebbe has another question. So basically we're saying, there would be no reason for me to be shown something wrong in the other person if it wasn't something that it means for me. Because why would I see something negative about the other person? Why did Hashem provide for me this opportunity to see something negative about the other person? It must mean that it has something for me to do. So that's why I got to start searching myself and trying to improve myself. But wait a minute. We can still question this. We don't just live for ourselves. We're not only responsible to refine and elevate ourselves, but we also are responsible for our friends. As we know, it says, which means one needs to rebuke the other person. Even 100 times you have to tell the other person again and again. So, wait a minute. So maybe, how do I know that the intention is, why is Hashem showing me the bad in the other person? Is because it's actually that he should know what he needs to do to work on yourself. But maybe it's very simply, maybe the intention is to show the negativity of your friend so you should be able to rebuke him and you should help the other person to better their ways. How do I know that it's for me? Maybe I am to help the other person, not for me. In other words, the reason I'm seeing something negative in the other person is not just for the other person, but maybe it's not just for me, but maybe it's for me to go do something for the other person. So, in generally, the Rebbe says that everything else was created for the Torah and for the Jewish people. And therefore we can say that one thing serves the purpose. So the world serves the purpose for the Torah and the world. It serves the purpose for the Jew and for the Torah. We can serve. They serve the other purpose. But one person does not serve a purpose for another person. Each one is the purpose in of itself. I mean, let me go back to it, but the point that Rebbe wants to bring. We can't say that the only reason I'm seeing something negative, why is a person having something negative, is just for me to learn from it, and it has nothing to do with the other person themselves. That if the other person has something negative, that means that he has to have something for themselves. That means that I should help the other person improve themselves. So why are we saying that it means that it's for self-improvement. And the Rebbe is going to basically explain over here, like I said before, there's two things when the Baal Shem Tov says when you see something negative, it means it's not only that you see. If you see just somebody does something and you have opportunity to help them, that might be the goal. But if you feel in your heart something negative, you start judging them, that's already more. That's not necessary to help them. That's already an extra. That extra means that there's something for you. So when the Baal Shem Tov says that when you see the negative, he's not just talking about at a small level of help the other person, you know, to say, like, you see somebody needs help, so you want to help them. But you see the bad, which means that you're actually condemning them, and that's already a step up. That something is for you, the message. Let's look inside. The message. So the Rebbe says, first to understand this,
I have to call their way.
In the fifth chapter over here, the fifth ois in the Sira, the Rebbe gets a little complex question. The Gemara. The Rebbe asks, you know, but that's where we're not going to. The Rebbe has a couple of questions over here on the Gemara. Why? How the Gemara asks the question, and why the Gemara asks this first? But I'm not going to go through that. That's going to take time. And it's a little bit on the side. But let's get to the Rebbe's answer. So the Rebbe says like this: that we know that even though we just said before. The Gemara discusses this. How come, you know, it doesn't say every time in the Torah, it doesn't say Asher Einenu Tahora. It says many times in the Torah, it says Tomei. You know, it does say Tomei. Yeah? The same thing is in other. The Gemara also talks about, when it talks about a woman, it talks about she is sitting. But when it talks about a man, it talks that he is riding. Because for a woman, it's not modest to say riding a horse, because then it's more. So we see the Gemara brings down, and yet sometimes we find by a woman riding in the Torah, we do find it, and we find many times in the Torah Tameya that it does say Tomei. So what's going on over there? So what is the explanation over there? So the Gemara discusses that, but the Rebbe sort of sums it up. The explanation is. When there is a ruling, when you need to rule something, when there has to, so how can we find sometimes Tomei? When you have to teach somebody a ruling, so then there is a necessity to say it very clearly in the most clear language. Even if sometimes you have to use a language which is not so pure, but we're trying to teach you halacha, we're not going to start going around and around when we have to tell you the halacha. So we say sometimes a things which is not even so nice, but to teach it in a short way. So we want the halacha to be clear and ruled certain. So that's why, actually, in most of the places in the Torah used the Lashon Tomei, even though every time the Torah uses Tomei, most of the time, even though that there is an equal... talking shortly in a short way isn't necessarily greater than talking nicely or saying in a Torah. They're basically, according to the Marsha, they're equal. So like when you have to choose to write it direct halacha or to say it in a little bit circumvent, you know, so you have on one hand, there's an advantage of saying it very clearly in not such a clean language. The other hand, you have a longer way, but not so clear. So you can do it, but most of the time, the Torah chooses to talk directly to the point, even though it's not such a clean language. But only when the Torah is telling you a story, when it's a story over there, it's not a halacha. In a storyline, over there, the Torah might want to go around and about, say it in a nicer way. And that's over there. It's a long language is common to be found, just like the short language. So basically, you have short and not so nice is equal to long and nice. And so in the Torah stories, we find them both. But in Halacha, we find always the Torah uses always the loose and the tummy. When it's Halacha, then we have to do it. And that's how the Rebbe explains the Gemara over there, the question of the Gemara that we didn't explain it. So, and then it brings other proofs. I mean, this is all lengthy. I want to bring out the Hayra to what we're learning over here.
Because,
yeah?
Because the Rashi will say, oh, the Torah only speaks in a clean language.
Only?
But it's not that's only, right? I know, like, yeah. Right, there's Rashi's that say the Torah speaks in a clean way.
Okay, so the Rebbe says like this. When you hear, when a Jewish person hears about somebody who did something not proper, God forbid, so there is an obligation to see the halacha, what to do. Halacha, the matter, which means only that part which is important that the person needs to do to fix it. That's all what you have to see. When you see somebody doing something improper, so what is the part that you have to see is just the thing that needs fixing so you can help the guy fix it. To rebuke him in a pleasant way, in a desirable way, and to bring him back to good. That needs to be the main part that you see. But if at the time that you're hearing from that the other person's no good what he's doing, and you see not only that part that you gotta sort of help him and tell him what to do, but you see that, oh, my friend is bad. In other words, you have a sense, it's emphasized by you, oh, he's evil. You're not, it's not like just, oh, I have to fix something over there, okay. But you have a feeling, you condemn him, you know, you feel in your heart, which means you're not, don't feel, oh, I need to fix it, but how could he be so bad? You're looking at him bad. That means that you're dirty yourself. That the when you see no good in the other person, that means that there's a problem, that's something no good about you. If you just see that aspect that you need to fix, okay. But if you see negative about the other person, that means there's something negative.
If you
that
see
means.
The act, or huh? if you see the act of the bad person, or the person itself, maybe that's what the difference.
No, well,
if you could see the act,
or you not, see
the action,
what you need to do to correct, versus feeling about them. I think it's to us it's easier to understand. It's either. It's just a technical thing. How am I going to help this person? Or you see, oh, the guy is bad. You know, so it's either.
And you're not thinking how to.
Yeah, you're not thinking how am I going to help him. You just think that, you know, you're thinking how do I help him? You know, quite frankly, you know, if it's our own child who's misbehaving, oh, we're looking for ways. How could we help him behave? Somebody else's chapter, oh, what a wild, you know, this is what a bad kid that is. In other words, on your own, you don't condemn him. That means if you say, if you see bad about somebody else, that means you're not supposed to see that, which means like this. Every aspect that Hashem created isn't in vain. So which means that in every detail that you see, there has to be an instruction for you. So there is a double instruction for you when you see another person, which means the fact that you see that your friend has something that needs to be corrected. Okay, so that's a instruction that you need to try to correct it. But the fact that you show that there is something evil, that there is bad, not that there's correction over there. In other words, you feel bad about that he's bad. That means that there's something in you that you feel it about somebody else. And then you have to fix yourself. Because if you were a righteous person, so then, at least in this paradigm, then you wouldn't feel bad. You didn't feel that your friend is bad. You'd only feel that he needs something to help be fixed, but you wouldn't feel that your friend is bad. And that's the meaning, as what the Rebbe explains, why the Pasuk says they did not see the nakedness of their father, even though they couldn't see it anyways, because it's Torah wants to emphasize, it's not only that Shem V'Yefes didn't see the physical nakedness of their father because they were backwards, but furthermore, Leiro, they didn't see, they didn't feel, and a matter of nakedness or degradation of lacking by their father. Their total feeling concentrated that they need to do to cover their father. That's all what they concentrated. But Erva Savihem, just seeing nakedness, their father is naked in of itself, without the purpose of covering them, they didn't see that. And that is, we understand now why Shem and Yef is different from the third brother, Chom. Because they didn't see. But by Chom it says, Vayar Chom. He did see. Chom did see. And that is because...
But did he physically see?
Yeah, well, there's actually a thing. Not only he saw it, some people say that he castrated him, some people say that, you know, so there was other things besides Yar. But Chom is Avik Nan, in other words, he was had the evil himself, Chom, Chamimus, Smoil. So he condemned his father. He says, what did you drink? He was drinking, he got drunk, and this is also idea of heating up what his father did, you know, to get drunk and all this is chum. But Shem V'Yef is there from the Yemin, so they didn't have any rabbi themselves, and so basically, if you are totally clean like Shem V'Yef is of any, then you don't see evil in the other person either. You could correct them. But you don't see evil in the other person. You can correct them.
You don't see their fault, you see only
them. Yeah, you don't see the fault, but you see what you need to do to help. So you're there to help, not to judge. That's what we said in the beginning. So what is the instruction for each one of us? So, the Rebbe concludes. So when we hear or we see something no good about a Jewish person, so besides the fact that it's prohibited to speak and to relate to other people, not like Chom did, he went, he told his brothers. Not only did he see himself, his father's Ra, they condemned him, but he told his brothers, he went and related to his brother. But more than that, you shouldn't even think in your thought of the evil of the other person. You have to reflect what you can do. How am I going to rebuke him? As I said before, in a proper way. And to fix it. And at the same time also, same time you have to seek not to see the bad in your friends. Even when you're working with them, you try to correct them, you have to try not to see the negative. And when you conduct yourself in this way, of Shem V'Yefes, then you merit the blessing, the promise, Baruch Hashem al Kishem, Yichnan, you have to leave him with Yefes, Yoshim al Hashem. So you have all the, you merit to be vessels for Torah, the vessel for Torah is Shalom. You merit the resting of the Shekhinah, which is going to be in the Holy Shem, which is the tents of Shem. That was the blessing, the Bein Mishnah, through unity and the love of the fellow Yid in the court of Mamish. This is from the Shabbos Breishis Sicha Tovshin Chof Vov. The bottom line from this is, do what you can to help the other person, but don't condemn them in your heart. Don't judge them, and try to help them. And I think that we saw from the Rebbe. You know, that's why the Rebbe reached out to everybody. Versus some people would say, "Oh, these people are bad. They're evil." The Rebbe didn't see the evil. Rebbe said only what can be done to fix. And when you do that, Brazil.